Happy lunch hour. Don't forget about our poll question we have going on right now. One of our listeners, Kelly, called up during our drunk driving conversation we had, which we will come back to next hour, but said that she wanted the DUI BAC level raised. She thinks it 0.08 is not high enough. It should be 0.1 or more. So we're asking you on Twitter, what do you think the BAC, the blood alcohol content level, should be for a DUI? 0.05, 0.08, 0.1 or higher, or 0.0. Let us know on Twitter and vote at KMBZ Radio. And so far, I am completely let down by what the answers are, but we'll come back to that a little bit later on. A reminder about Coats for Kids going on. The weather is turning. You see snow on the ground. It's officially cold.
It's, as I said on Twitter this morning, it's officially the season now where you have to gingerly walk through any parking lot because there's ice on the ground from where sun doesn't hit it, and you got to be careful not to fall on your face.
That sums it up.
Speaking from my experience in the Target parking lot this morning.
Did you fall?
No, but I'm in very high boots today, heels on boots today, and heels on, yeah.
Heels on boots on boots.
And so I'm aware that I need to walk more carefully. And, you know, my center of gravity is a little lower than yours, so I don't worry about it too much. But, yeah, I had that moment of, oh, no!
Here we go.
So be careful.
The weather is cold again. And some kids out there, look, they don't have a coat to stay warm. And we want you to help us out. We're trying to make a difference every year. You do a great job for Kansas City kids in need. And we need your help again in 2018, our 15th year of doing it. Just drop off any new or gently used coat at any area Pride Cleaners now through December 7th. If you want to hang out, if you want to, you know, go see one of our station members who's going to be out, Scott Parks will be out tomorrow from 7 to 9 a.m. So on your way into work, if you want to stop at the Aero Fabricare, that's the Aero Fabricare at 39th and Troost. Parks will be out. That's tomorrow, 7 to 9. Dana will be at the Pride Cleaners at 850 West Blue Ridge in KC tomorrow morning as well. I'm sorry, Thursday morning, 7 to 9. Again, Scott tomorrow, Dana on Thursday. Or just drop off your coat at any area Pride Cleaners now through December the 7th. So we definitely appreciate that. Travis, can we talk about the biggest story in our worlds? This is it right here. This is all that really matters. I cannot wait for it. What's he talking about? This is the long version. Oh, God. Okay, I messed it up. I played something wrong and stupid. Anyway, let's get right into it.
Why didn't you just play the theme song?
I have it saved as this is the theme song, and apparently I don't have the theme song. So can you pull it up? I feel like we need mood music.
Yeah, one second.
I thought I pulled it up, and I didn't, and I'm stupid.
And I have no help here whatsoever.
No, I would ask you to hum it. All right, here we go.
I don't know.
I got it, Travis. I'm dumb. Here we go. Gah! Total fail.
There you go.
3, 2, 1. Now I got it. We finally have a month, not a start date, but a start month for the new season of Game of Thrones. It will be April of 2019. The story is up on our Facebook page, and you can see it there. Go ahead and read about it. Game of Thrones Season 8, and the hashtag is For the Throne. Now, if you don't watch Game of Thrones, I don't know what's wrong with you. Jamie doesn't watch it. My wife hates it.
You're not surprised I don't watch this,
no,
right?
No.
It just doesn't fit my... No.
No.
No. I would be bored in 5 minutes.
Knowing what we've gone through with 7 seasons of Game of Thrones, I have a feeling these directors are going to come out April 1st, April Fool's Day.
Don't you dare.
And just drop a trailer and be like, yeah, we're going to start actual April 30th. and not start, you know,
hold on,
in April like we say we're going to.
I have been I got to the Game of Thrones party late. All right? I got to it very late. Actually, I started when season 6 premiered.
Okay.
So I caught up on 5 seasons and I made it by the season finale of 6, if that makes any sense.
So I was where you were, but I started when season 4, I think, came out. And during that time, I was working the Jonathan Weir show. And he's like, you have to watch this show. It's called Game of Thrones. It's, you know, dragons. It's back in the castle days, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, that sounds kind of interesting. I'll see how it is. Watch the first 2 episodes. I'm like, oh, this is just kind of slow. He goes, get past, you know, a few episodes and you'll love it.
Yeah, once
and
Ned's
gone. And I've been
hooked
ever since I'm maybe, what, the third episode?
Yeah, once Ned's gone, then it just it takes off after that third or fourth episode.
Right. And I was kind of like you. I started late, so I binge watch within probably a week of going through four seasons.
And last year, they shortened it. It went from like 12 episodes to 10, but last year was so epic. And the one thing that people about last season was how quickly everything happened.
Oh, like, yes.
There's a great map of where how far the walkers traveled, or the walkers, that's Game of Thrones, the White Walkers, how far they traveled as compared to how far Jon Snow and everyone traveled through all of Westeros. and they managed to go an inch versus what Jon Snow and company did. And everything happened so quick, and it was one of the things that people were critical of, that time didn't really matter during season 7. But they crammed it in, and it was absolutely awesome. And now, what you have been waiting for, all of the politics, all of the battles, all of the everything, finally, we Game of Thrones nerds have been waiting for this season. Because, look, I'm sure someone's going to say, Mike, Travis, you guys should really read the books. I'm not doing that.
No, me either. I'm definitely one of those persons when you watch a movie like the Harry Potter series Lord of the
books
Rings,
are,
you're
books
like,
are
well, you know the books are better. I don't care.
No.
If the books are better for the Game of Thrones.
Because
I want to see the graphics. I want to see in real life these dragons. I don't want to try to picture it in my head what the dragons look like.
I got a subwoofer and surround sound for a reason. It's not for this dumb
just
book
for Game of Thrones.
This is over on our Facebook page. Our friends at Channel 9 got the story. It's everywhere now. After a very long wait, HBO announced the premiere date for the 8th and final season of Game of Thrones. Fans have been teased for months, early 2019, but now it's been confirmed April 2019. In an extremely subtle move, HBO confirmed what we've long expected in the final seconds in a recap teaser of all sorts, hashtag For the Throne. And what I love so much is if you watch the teaser from Game of Thrones on Twitter, and you can see it on our Facebook page. They have this every battle, every betrayal, every risk, every fight, every sacrifice, every death, all for the throne. The teaser has zero new footage. None. So there's not even an ounce of a spoiler 4 months out or wherever we are right now.
I think that's why the creators of Game of Thrones are so great, because when you are going into a new season of a show, they kind of give you a little clip of, okay, well, this is going to happen, you know, this upcoming season. Oh, will there be a major death? Who knows? No. Game of Thrones is like, we're going to show you everything we did 1 through 7.
Right. And you know what we're going to tell you? Go back and watch it all again.
Yes.
Watch it all again.
Because what I love is at the end it goes, 1 through 7 is free to stream now on HBO.
Of course. And the last season, the episodes were all pretty long. They were 70 minutes. You know, they were all kind of, now they were more than the standard 1 hour that the show has been. The 8th season, it's only going to be 6 episodes, which is crazy. But the 8th season, it says, will consist of 6 movie-length episodes. Does that mean 2-hour films? 2-hour episodes?
That's my guess, is that they'll be... And I think I told you earlier, there is a scene, if you watched Game of Thrones, there is a episode called Battle of the Bees, you know. I don't know if I can read or say that word.
The Bastard Bowl.
Yeah, okay, yes, that one. Took about... that took 3 days to film. Or two days to film, just the big scene of Jon Snow being smashed by every single army. There's going to be an episode for this one that took 124 hours to film.
One battle took five days. 5 days for one battle?
Yes.
Wow. Man, I cannot wait. I cannot wait. All right, let's see here. So it'll be on Sundays. It'll either be the 7th, 14th, 21st, or 28th. Of April. That's all we got is April 2019 for the next season. And now I want to go start back at episode 1.
I'll definitely do it because I can get it before. I can probably watch it twice by that time April comes up.
I just need this damn football season to end.
Yeah,
you know, I
seriously.
Just need football keeps getting in the way of everything. If you want to read about it, if you're jacked for it, it's up on Twitter. It's up on our Facebook page. One interesting note, the cast said they couldn't get through the script without tears.
Aww.
What does that mean? What does that mean? Not a queen, a Khaleesi. Hashtag for the throne. Now I'm all nerded out on this, man. I'm ready. I am ready for this.
And to the texter, says, if the books are so much better, they wouldn't be making a TV show. Tell that to Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, and almost every other movie that's been made by a book. Star Wars, also by books.
Hey, you know, the books are better. I don't care. Give me popcorn and surround sound, and I can get through that book in 2 hours on TV. All right? Like, you should read the book. No, I don't have time for that.
Very busy.
Right.
I'm surprised you have string cheese by the bite.
I did it again, by the way, although I kept the string cheese below the monitor here so you couldn't see me.
I had no idea.
Yeah. I do it stealth-like so I don't get criticized.
That's extremely, yeah. That's definitely what you're doing is being very stealthy.
Just don't want you guys to make fun of me anymore, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a sensitive guy. But April 2019, that is when the next season, the final season, the six-episode season of Game of Thrones is going to be released. Read about it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/981KMBZ. If you're planning on traveling for Thanksgiving and you want it to be stress-free, we got some bad news for you. We'll tell you about it next. Hey, don't forget about our poll question we've got going on right now. Follow us on Twitter and vote at KMBZ Radio. What should the blood alcohol content level be to be considered busted for a DUI? 0.05, 0.08, 0.1 or higher? Or 0.0. Let us know on Twitter and vote at KMBZ Radio.
So the story's out everywhere today about the number of people that are going to travel for the holiday. Here's the best piece of advice I can give you. If you can wait and drive on Thanksgiving Day or the day after, you're going to have an easier time than any other day. So the Thanksgiving travel period officially is Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, through Sunday. And Wednesday and Sunday are always the busiest travel days. Whether you fly or drive, those are always the busiest travel days. If you can wait and go like even early the next, even Thursday morning, you're going to have a much easier time. But AAA says this year we're supposed to see the highest volume of Thanksgiving travel since 2005. And we've got the highest gas prices in like 3 years despite that. The vast majority of people are expected to go by car. 48.5 million out of the 54.3 that are expected to go 50 miles or more away from home. That's what they consider traveling for Thanksgiving. Vast majority of those are going to go by car.
I wonder why. I mean, is it the economy? I mean, is that what it is? Are people living further away from their relatives that they would go to? Like, I'd like to know the reason for that.
They don't have a theory. They just put out the numbers. I have no idea. No clue why the number is up. It just is.
Are you heading back to Chicago
for
Thanksgiving?
I'll be doing the drive, yes. And I don't mind. I love driving. It does not bother me. I mean, I don't love doing
that drive.
I've done it so many times, and I've got 5 days, so I don't mind doing it over the court. You know, if I'm not doing a quick turnaround, I don't mind that I've got a little more time to play with. I whine about the drive because it's boring, but if I've got some time in between, it's not that bad.
Travis, you driving back to Texas for the for Thanksgiving?
Yeah. It's about an 8-hour drive, I think I'll probably leave like Wednesday morning.
How many stops do you make on that drive?
If I'm by myself, I make one stop, but normally, or I guess now with having Mel and Maverick, my dog, probably make two stops, two and a half. Two and a half meaning I don't get gas. I just stop for bathroom breaks.
If I could do the whole drive without stopping, I would. If my car would get me, usually I can go 6 of the 7 hours on one tank of gas, which puts me at Bloomington, Illinois, which is often a place I would stop anyway. If I could do the whole drive, and because once I hit the road, just get me there. Just don't screw around. Just get there.
Our last trip we could actually make because of the baby is going to be Thanksgiving up to Des Moines. 3 hours. That's about my limit. I don't know how you guys do it. And I know you have to go see family, and I understand that. But, man, that long drive.
You're lucky that you have family that's close.
I would fly.
We don't know. That's what everybody says, just fly. I mean, it's not, you know, there are expenses involved in that. You know, you got to rent the car. Then if I fly, you know, you got to buy the plane ticket. It's not, you know, people are saying it's 250. It's not always 250 round trip. Not on a holiday. It's not always 250 round trip. And in the end, for as much time as it would take to get through Chicago City traffic and get home, it only saves a little bit of time to fly than it does to drive.
That drive from here to Texas is probably one of the easiest drives I ever do. I think the longest thing is getting out of Kansas, getting out of just seeing nothing.
Just the boring drive that is Kansas.
Yeah, but Texas isn't the most exciting drive in the world either.
I mean, when you get out of Oklahoma, I mean, once you get to Norman, I mean, you're seeing a lot of stuff, and Dallas mm-hmm. is literally right there at the Norman. It's 3 hours out of Norman, so it's not like I'm driving to, like, Lubbock.
According to USA Today, the TSA said that on average they screened 2.1 to 2.2 million passengers and crew nationwide per day. The number is about to swell 25% or more on days around Thanksgiving. And those days leading up to Thanksgiving, which, by the way, they're now including the Friday before Thanksgiving as part of the Thanksgiving travel, 2.5 to 2.6 million. On that Sunday alone, 2.7 million. So it could be the busiest travel day in travel time in Thanksgiving history. So travel or plan on your travel accordingly.
Here's the deal. We've done the pictures before. I would love to see the pictures from people that are flying out of KCI on the day before Thanksgiving. Because those are the days where you see the pictures of the line to get through security in Terminal B, like, wrapped yep. around. The day before Thanksgiving is not the day to get there an hour before your flight, or you will miss it. Guarantee you will miss it.
But it's so convenient.
This is the day where having the three terminals is a bad idea.
Read that story on our Facebook page. It's there, as always, up on Twitter as well, at KMBZ Radio. It's 12:30. Let's give away some tickets to the Holiday Boutique. Let's do that. We have got a... Who am I for you to play? We're going to give you 10 clues about somebody in this world. We'll give you 10 clues about them. And all you got to do is figure out who I am on the air at 576-7798. 576-7798. Holiday Boutique coming up starts Thursday at the Overland Park Convention Center. Jamie made this one.
I'm proud of this one.
Clue number one. President Trump has attacked me on Twitter.
Have at it, people.
It's like 900 people right there. President Trump has attacked me on Twitter. Who am I? 576-7798. First one in. All right, time to play Who Am I? 576-7798. We have four tickets on the line to the upcoming Holiday Boutique. It starts Thursday at the Overland Park Convention Center. Jamie and I will be broadcasting live on Thursday while we're out there. It's going on all 4 days.
Don't be afraid to remind me of that.
When you come here on Thursday morning.
It was supposed to be Friday.
Right, we moved it.
And usually when we do these shows out, they're almost always on a Friday. And so it's... And then it wouldn't hurt to remind me to come into the office on Friday. Because my head just has it that...
You go full weekend.
It's on Friday. So don't be afraid for a little reminder text in the morning.
I can do that.
To not come here.
Don't go to work. Go to the Overland Park and meet at the Panera. Always meet at.
Yeah.
All right. 576-7798. Clue number one for our four-pack of tickets. President Trump... has attacked me on Twitter. Pretty generic.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Megan, you're first up. Megan, who am I?
I'm going to go with Jake Tapper.
Am I Jake Tapper? No. By the way, President Trump called Jake Tapper a CNN flunky on Twitter. Let's go to Kara. You're on KMBZ. Kara, who am I?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Am I Rosie O'Donnell? No. He has insulted Rosie O'Donnell several times on Twitter. One of the best ones was in 2011.
Do you just have a catalog of this somewhere?
No, I just Googled them when they came up on the screen. I feel sorry for Rosie's new partner in love, whose parents are devastated at the thought of their daughter being with Rosie, a true loser. It's the president of the United States. Let's go to Pat. You're on KMBZ. Pat, who am I?
Michelle Obama.
Am I Michelle Obama? I don't know if he's insulted Michelle Obama on Twitter, but I know he's insulted Barack Obama on Twitter. Let's see here.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. She's talked about him a little bit in the new book and
right.
has talked about how Melania has not reached out to her and hasn't felt the need to.
In 2012, Donald Trump tweeted, Michelle Obama likes to be addressed as Your Excellency. She is an excellent spender of taxpayer money on herself.
No.
I don't know if that's a...
It's not very nice.
I don't know if that... Yeah. I don't know if that's really... also, he tweeted out once, how did you like Michelle Obama's bangs last night?
What a... You know,
all right.
Keep my comments to myself.
That's fantastic. That dude should not be commenting on anyone's hair. 576-7798. Thomas, who am I, Thomas?
Megyn Kelly.
Am I Megyn Kelly? No, low ratings. Megyn Kelly is not who it is. All right. How about another clue?
Yeah.
Remember, clue number one, President Trump has attacked me on Twitter. Clue number two, my parents helped me start a major company. My parents helped me start a major company. Who am I? 576-7798. Stevie. Who am I, Stevie?
Mitzi, watch your bits.
No.
Okay. Can't use that one.
First of all, it doesn't fit. Well, I don't know. Did her parents help her start a major
company?
I have
no idea.
I don't know. Maybe it's possible. But you can't say that word.
Bill, you're on KMBZ. Who am I, Bill?
Jim Acosta, CNN reporter.
Am I Jim Acosta? No.
Parents.
And by the way,
major company.
CNN is now suing Donald Trump along with six other members of the administration because they won't let Jim Acosta cover the White House. Oh, boy. All right. Debbie, you're next up. 576-7798. Debbie, who am I? Debbie. Debbie.
Alec Baldwin.
Am I Alec Baldwin? No, he's called him talentless on Twitter before. How about Brooke? You're on KMBZ. Who am I, Brooke?
Chelsea Manning.
My Chelsea Manning? Has he insulted Chelsea Manning on Twitter?
You are the expert.
I just have
for
to
sure.
Google this. Ungrateful traitor Chelsea Manning is what he called her. All right. How about another clue here? President Trump has attacked me on Twitter. My parents helped me start a major company. Clue number three, I am married to a novelist. 576-7798. I am married to a novelist. Let's go to Fred on KMBZ. Who am I, Fred?
Claire McCaskill.
Am I Claire McCaskill? No, I am not Claire McCaskill.
No.
I know
in fact, not true.
Yep. I don't know. Has he insulted Claire McCaskill? I mean, I assume. A great spender of taxpayers' money. Yeah. Yeah. That's new. It's amazing that we actually can't whittle down who the president has insulted as the president of the United States.
Again, the problem is people are only going off the first clue.
Jackie, who am I?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Am I Mark Zuckerberg? Good idea.
He is married to a doctor.
Not a bad guess, though.
Priscilla is a doctor.
I don't know if he got any money, but if The Social Network is right, if the movie The Social Network is right, he did not use his parents' money other than to get into college, to pay for college.
That he quit.
576-7798. Rich, you're on KMBZ. Who am I, Rich?
Is it Michael Avenatti?
Am I creepy porn lawyer Michael Avenatti? No, but he has obviously insulted Michael Avenatti all the time.
But I don't know about the other stuff.
Don't know either. Let's go to Angie next up. Angie, who am I?
Are you Jeff Bezos?
Am I Jeff Bezos?
Correct. Boy Wonder.
Here we go.
She listened to all the clues.
She did. The owner of Amazon is today's Who Am I? Trump has attacked him on Twitter a lot because he owns the Washington Post.
Yes.
My parents helped me start a major company. I'm married to a novelist. I didn't know that he was married to a novelist.
Cannot think of her name right now, but yes.
Today it was Jeff Bezos. And there's a reason why Jeff Bezos' name is in the news today. And we'll tell you the big anticlimactic shocking answer of HQ2 coming up next.
This is the largest economic development initiative that has ever been done by the city or the state. The city and the state.
That's New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. If you're wondering why we're playing that, we're going to bring Dan Weinbaum in here in just a second. But
so blah, blah, going to New York, blah, blah, going to big cities, blah, blah.
Amazon.
Why did all these cities compete and take all this time and do all this work if it was just going to go to the East Coast?
Right. Like, if you haven't heard the news, HQ2 is going to New York.
They're splitting it between Queens and where?
D.C. Basically, it's Northern Virginia. It's D.C. So we went through all the hoopla. Sly James had his video. Austin. Nobody ever had a shot besides the East Coast.
Acted like it was actually going to get to go to Albuquerque, New Mexico or something.
Right.
No.
Omaha had no chance. Kansas City, you had no chance. Oh, what if we did one between St. Louis and Kansas City? Nope. They wind up in New York. And D.C. Such an anticlimactic story. Meanwhile, the fear in California continues as we've got the Woolsey Fire and the Camp Fire. Two fires raging right now. Over 200,000 acres have been destroyed by these two fires. And if you've seen the videos, go to our Facebook page and check out the video of the guy who's singing to his daughter as they drive through walls of fire seemingly on both sides of the road. to escape. And a lot of people are talking about, I don't care, it's Kim Kardashian. That's one fire, and that sucks. You still don't care about the Kardashian family being safe. I understand. But the northern part, the campfire in the northern part of this whole state, Jamie, that's where people, real people, are losing their homes.
Out of the 44 fatalities that have happened so far, and there are a lot of people that are still missing, 42 of those have been in that Northern California fire. So even though it seems like the one in the South is getting a lot of attention because of the celebrities that are involved, really the one in the North is the really major one. And so Dan Weinbaum from our newsroom is here because we did not realize until you told us that you have had a lot of exposure to fires like this.
Oh, definitely. I used to work out in New Mexico, and there were many, many wildfires there in Colorado and Arizona and Utah. So I covered many wildfires out West, and they literally are hell on earth. And these massive wildfires, like the campfire up there in the Sierra Nevadas, up there in the elevation and the pine trees, and it is hell on earth up there.
You've seen the videos, especially the one on CNN that's on our Facebook page of the driving through. I mean, how quick does something like this pop up? Because we had a caller earlier who's a former firefighter, 27 years, he said he was a fireman. And just as, how quickly all of a sudden, if you don't take care of this out of the gate, I mean, especially with the winds that they have, and you saw it when you were down in the Southwest, how fast does this spread?
It can spread within moments. And it's not like living in a city where you see smoke coming out of a house and you can call the fire department and they're there within minutes and putting water on the fire and it's really contained. The closest thing we've ever really seen, not ever seen, but similar to, remember when that apartment building lit on fire here in Overland Park?
Yeah.
And the winds carried the embers and it started dropping into the neighborhood and started burning things. That on such a small scale. But these wildfires can light off incredibly fast. There was one in New Mexico, May of 2000, the Cerro Grande fire. It was started as a prescribed burn. It was forest management that was going on.
They were doing this on purpose.
They were doing it on purpose because for a number of reasons, for more than 100 years, we let the forest get overgrown. Because, see, wildfire is a natural part of the evolution of the planet. The forests have to burn. That's kind of how they're replenished. And when we decided to just let them be and to suppress the wildfires, that allowed the forest to overgrow and get too much detritus down below. And that, of course, it's dry and less humid. And once one little spark happens, boom, you have a massive wildfire as opposed to just a replenishing fire, which is really what you want. So, yeah, that one in 2000 was a prescribed burn. The winds picked up and it just took off. And when it jumped the canyon, that was the catalyst to evacuate the city of Los Alamos. And I was in the city as this was happening. I watched everybody evacuate, and the fire comes burning right through the town, burned about 10% of the entire city, and it just left nothing. These things are massive, and you can't really get a handle on it at all. It's not like you go and you just pour water on the fire. You have to go and get in front of it. You have to go build fire breaks. You've got to light backfires. Hopefully the wind will then take that fire and push it into the other fire and burn it all out.
It
doesn't just get put out.
Science to it all. And
it is fascinating.
Because what people don't understand, and I actually learned this from a movie. I know that's dumb to say. I don't think I realized it, but the movie Only the Brave.
Yes.
Where, for if you don't, and I didn't understand this, and I'll claim ignorance, but like you go burn a path, and once you put that out, then it can't burn again, and that's like
right.
The dead end on it, and
exactly.
that's what they're trying to do right now. But this is just what we're seeing here is just a tidal wave of fire.
And one of the issues that we have is what's called the urban wildland interface. We are everywhere. We are all over the place, and these forests. The national forests, especially, there are roads and there's resorts and ski resorts and towns nearby, and we're all recreating inside these forests. So there's all this activity in there. And so when we live right nearby, everybody wants to live in the mountains, you know, with some beautiful pine trees and vistas and everything. And so when we live in these areas, it makes it even worse, because when a wildfire lights off, then of course it's impacting, you know, the humans and our property and all of that. And it's hard to fight these fires, especially because of the elevation. You're talking about mountains and ravines, and you can't just, it'd be nice, but you just can't put the thing out.
No.
So my only exposure to wildfires was when back in 2014 was a bad wildfire season in Northern California and Southern Oregon. And I was at Crater Lake National Park at the time.
Yeah.
And just to be outside, it was such an eerie thing to me that I had never been exposed to living here. To be outside and smell fire all the time was so startling to me. And I talked to some of the people that live, I can't think of what the name of the town is, but that live nearby, and they talked to me about how it's just something they're used to, that they just like we are used to the threat of tornadoes and we have basements because of that, they are just generally used to the idea that wildfire is a reality of where they live.
Exactly. If you're living in or near the forest, yeah, you're going to smell fires. And, you know, these are the two big ones that we're looking at, the campfire up by the Sierra Nevadas, and then down by L.A., the Woolsey fire. But there's several other fires that are burning in California right now as well. It's just the nature of things. And the one down in Southern California, they have these fires almost all the time. And a lot of it has to do with the flora that they have, the chaparral, the creosote, the greasewood, and their oil. There's oils inside the plants. It helps them be drought resistant.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, once they get set on fire, it's just boom.
Is Los Angeles, is that in jeopardy?
I don't think it's in jeopardy. I mean, it's an urban area.
Right? Like, now, I mean, could LA shifts, burn to the ground?
No, if the wind shifts in a certain way, you would have embers that could land in certain areas. One of the most amazing things I've ever seen with wildfires is when you're, say 80 miles away and you're on the with the curvature of the earth around 25 miles and you're about 80 miles away and you look to the horizon, you can see this big thumb-sized column of smoke over the horizon. These mm-hmm. things are huge. And when they come crashing down, they're so heavy with embers burning.
Almost like a volcanic eruption.
Almost like that. And they will, because they get so heavy, they're going up 20, 30, 40,000 feet, and then they come crashing down. Everything is dark.
Gross.
Smoke everywhere. There's embers flying. It's quite the thing to behold.
Dan, thanks, man.
Sure.
Appreciate it. I mean, this is how serious this stuff is in California right now. We'll keep you updated on it. It's Midday with Jamie and Wicket.